let me tell you what we're going to do now, and Mir Hashem, what we're going to try to work on over the next coming months. There's a remarkable little sefer that came out some years ago called Chadarov, his room. I don't know if any of you were zeichet to see his room. If you go to the house of Rav Kook, you could see his room where he learned. His room, and what this is a collection. It's a likud of different, not all, a beautiful collection of different places in Rav Kook's farm where he speaks about himself, where it's not just where it's not a Torah, but it's an outpouring of himself. And there's, it's almost like a little bit like a, not a diary, but it has that feeling of a journal of something very, very personal. And it was collected, many of them were collected into this little Sefer Chadarav. That's not what we're going to be doing. We're going to do a little bit of that today. And it will probably take us today and the next time as well, next week. And all of that is by way of Hakdama to a Sefer that I decided that I know that I feel bad. People spend money on the Sefer, then I switch the Sefer. I can get a refund to anybody, but it's good to have in this farm. Because depending on what's happening in me and in the world and trying to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch and Mashiach coming, so things change. So we're going to be learning a sefer this year that I feel is the entire sefer is a perish of what we're going to be learning now. That's why I want to learn this now. This little piece of Rav Kook speaking to us about himself is a hakdama to the sefer that we're going to be doing. That's not Rav Kook's sefer, but it's a perish on Rav Kook. And we're going to be learning a lot of Rav Kook in the sefer. And that's the sefer Ayaka from Rav Reuven Sasson, Zolgazon Zayn. That we're going to be learning together, Mr. Shem, the Sefer Ayaka. And you'll see what I mean, that it's a perish on what Rav Kook is saying now, what we're going to be seeing from Rav Kook now. And the entire year, we're going to try to understand by way of learning that this remarkable Sefer Ayaka, to try to understand all that Rav Kook has been crying about and singing about and begging us to try to understand. Because that's really the entire Sefer Ayaka is a perish from Rav Kook. There'll be many pieces that are from Rav Kook that we'll be doing. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll be starting that, not for a few weeks, but we'll be starting that soon. But let's learn now. So I hope that you have it. Mitoichi, mitoich ma'ayona. You see it? It's very, very hard to translate this when it's a Torah of Rav Kook. It's hard, and then when it's even harder when it's one of these like self-reflective mamarim. It's very, very hard. But Rav Kook says, "Mitochi, from within me, mitoch ma'ayonai, from my wellsprings, mitoch ma'ayonai." A ma'ayan is a spring. So from within me, from within the wellsprings, in other words, it's flowing from the wellsprings of my being, mitoch ma'ayonai. Hine nitzarech tamid lakachas es ha'oitzaros hagnuzem. I feel that I must always draw from the hidden treasures. Otsaros Hagnuzim. What are these hidden treasures? The Otsaros Hagnuzim. Tomid ani kosher ba'oso hatzar ha'kadosh shel drishas ha'shlemis ha'alyon. I am always bound, I'm always kosher, tied to this holy anguish, tzar ha'kadosh. What's the Tzara Kodesh? Shall drishas hashleimus al yanu, that I'm seeking my longing for shleimus al yanu, my longing for a higher perfection. Vizu enemus males, and this longing that I have to reach this madrega of shleimus al yanu, enemus males, it's not being filled. I'm not there. So enemus males. But vein etzrichles males, and it does not have to be fulfilled. It's not. I'm not there, and I don't have to get there. Vein etzrichles males. Ki zos hi tchunas ahariga hanitzchis, because this is the nature, the character of this longing of the hariga hanitzchis, the eternal longing of a Jew for Hashem. She yisoda hu hatzimaon ha'eloki. The yisod of being a Jew is a longing to be a Jew. And therefore, Rav Kook begins by saying that I'm always reaching into those oitzaros, into those inner treasure, that treasures inside of myself. I'm reaching deep, deep inside. And I always feel this pain and this anguish of not being able to reach where I want to reach and to get to where I want to get to. But he says, but Be'emes, the truth is that this is what it means to be a Jew. She is soda hu hatzimona eloki, to always be reaching for that treasure. To always to spend your whole life trying to go into that place. Nothing in the world can quench the thirst of the soul. Nothing else can satisfy a Jew. It's the mavukash itself. It's the longing itself that gives life that meaning. Rav Kook is saying, it's not the finding, it's not reaching. It's the wanting, it's the longing, it's the searching, it's the reaching in. It's the thirst. Sheyachosef tamid Yosef Yosef. And this penetrates always deeper and deeper. It goes deeper and deeper. V'yukar tamid Yosef Yosef. And you see it more. It becomes clearer, more and more clear. And hu ba'atzmo, and this longing itself, the unfulfilled longing, with all of the tzar hakodesh, the holy tzar, the holy pain and disappointment that comes with it, at the same time, hu mishapech l'makar kol oinig. It somehow becomes the makar, the source of all pleasure, the makar of all oinig. L'machon kol ha'adonim haruchniyim, Leziv Shakai. It becomes the basis of all spiritual sweetness, the radiance and the light of Hashem. Not the having, but the wanting. The Tzimon itself. And because of that, I'm constantly searching. I'm constantly searching for what's within me, for what's within my soul. The ha'avdus hachitzana, and the external slavery, meaning that the avdus hachitzana to things of life that have to be taken care of. Himasiya asadeya me'achipus apnimi. Sometimes it distracts me from that chipus apnimi, from that search. Vavakesh Lashav B'Ktzei Ha'aretz, and I'm distracted and I waste my time trying to find something B'Ktzei Ha'aretz, somewhere at the end of the world. Thinking that I'll find something that I can't find but mamake nafshi. In other words, really, all that I need to find is but mamake hanefesh, is within me. And that's the question that Hashem is asking Adam Rishon, Ayeka, where are you? And that's what we began to talk about in the Pnim Yeshir on Tuesday night. And Rav Kook is saying there are distractions in life, that avdus, that enslavement to the world that causes a person to believe that he's going to find those treasures, the Ktzei Ha'aretz. He's going to find those treasures and those pleasures, the Ktzei Ha'aretz, someplace else. He's going to find them someplace else. And that they can't be found, but mamake nafshi, that they're not to be found, but mamake hanefesh. How could I try to teach others? How could I talk to others if I'm not speaking to my own soul? How could I give to others and teach others if I'm not connected to my own soul? Eich esa dea al ha'olam, haruchani v'acharmi. How can I express my opinion, my thoughts, regarding the spiritual and physical world? Im eila ha'yitzaros hakmusim bekirbi, lo avakesh lehem avteach. If I'm not finding a way to open those treasures that are hidden deep within myself, how can I say that this is my opinion? This is my idea. This is the way that I feel. This is the way that I think. If I haven't truly come to that place of who I am, what does it mean when I say the words, I feel? It's still early in the day. Over the course of this Erev Shabbos, each person here is going to say probably somewhere between 20 and 100 times the words I think or I feel. Unless you're just having a quiet day. And even then, you might text it or email it to somebody. I think, I feel. And did you ever stop to think, or to try to feel, what the word I means? That you're saying, I think, I feel. What does that mean? I think, I feel. And if a person, what Rav Kook is saying, that a person is teaching others, I'm telling others my ideas, my opinions, my thoughts, I share my feelings, Rav Kook is saying, with the world, how could I do that if I haven't, if these aishus akmusim, of these hidden treasures that are within me are still locked up? And I go around my whole life telling people, I think and I feel. What does it mean, I? Who is that, I? Who is that? What does that mean, I think, I feel? Su'u sha'arim reishaychem. I call out, Omar el chadrei nafshi. I call out to the rooms of my soul, to those locked rooms, those locked doors. I call out to them, Su'u sha'arim reishaychem. Open up. Open up the gates. I call out to the locked gates of myself. I'm calling out, Su'u sha'arim reishaychem. Su'u sha'arim reishaychem omar al chadrei nafshi. El libi ve'el kilyosai. I'm calling out to the locked gates of my heart and of my kishkes, my kidneys, kilyosai, my inner self. I'm calling out, Su'u sha'arim reishaychem. It's a lot harder to open that door than the Aron Kodesh. You know, if you have people in certain places, they'll pay $50,000 for psiche, Rosh Hashanah for psiche, Susha Meshech for the psiche. They'll pay a lot of money for that. It doesn't cost a penny to go to the Susha Meshech over here. But there's not much bidding. There's not much bidding for that. Susha Meshech. So pisse oil. Nafshi Shoefes. Lios Chaderis Besoy Chadareh. You know, there are different madregas of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chayichida. So he's saying that the external part of my soul is longing to enter into the inner chambers of my soul. The Nefesh is the most external part of the soul. That's the part that's connected to the body most. My Nefesh, Nafshi Shoefes Lios Chaderis, my soul. The nefesh part of myself, this more external part of myself, is shoefes, is longing this chaderes b'soy chadereh apnimi, to enter into those inner rooms, those other rooms. All that I try to draw from the light to lidlos, like to draw from the light of Torah and from the light of the world, as much as I try so hard to draw the light of Torah and to draw from the light of the world that I live in, hinini might say I find shekola sherashim shalom avokashim atahirim. That the truth is that all of the roots of the pure things that I'm seeking, they're all found in the depths of my own soul. The depths of the soul itself. Like when Chazal tells us that Avraham Avinu was keeping the entire Torah, and that Avraham Avinu was learning Torah. Chazal say that his shtei kol yosa, that his two kidneys were like fountains of wisdom. So that doesn't mean that Avraham Avinu had wireless little ear things, and that somehow they were picking up on his kidneys, and his kidneys were saying, gracious brother Kim Shemayim Esaras, Ela told us Noah. What does it mean Avraham Avinu was learned the Torah from his kidneys? What's that Torah of Avraham Avinu? From the kidneys. From the kishkas. From within himself. Because the or, that or of Torah itself is found within the person. Sha'aru hu notol me'or ha'Torah, because that light within myself is itself the light of Torah. That's what it means that the Malach teaches the baby, kol ha'Torah kula, inside the mother's womb. That's just like the end of the shir. But it means that the Torah itself is something which is before I ever stepped foot into the world. Before I took a breath of this world, the Torah is there. The Torah is inside of me. And everything that I learn, and everything that I read, and everything that I hear in Torah is just the hisgalus of that Torah that's inside of me. And it's also Sha'ar hu natol mi'or ha'Torah u'miziv ha'olam, and from the shining light of the worlds that Hashem, of all worlds that Hashem created. That's within me myself. That's within the eye. That's all there in the person himself. Im ani shav mitorcha Torah mitorcha olam al nafshi pnima. If I'm able to take the Torah that I do learn, that light of Torah that I'm able to see, and mitorcha olam and the light of the world that I'm able to absorb, and I use that as a way to return, to help me get back, al nafshi pnima, as a way of helping me find my way back to that part, to that inner chamber. Az oisif chai. Then I will be able to, that will add life. Az oisif chai. Nihikanes al chadri ha-Torah v'al chadri ginzei ha-Olam. And then it'll be an or chayzer that then I will be able to go back to the Torah that I'm learning in my svarim, and to go back to the world, and I'll be able to see that Torah in a new way. I'll be able to look at the world in a different way. It goes back and forth. The Torah that I'm learning can bring me deeper into that place of who I am. And then, and that Torah is energized and illuminated with that Torah of myself. And then I'm able to go back to the Torah that I'm learning, and back into the world that I live in. I'm able to see it in a different way. Likonis al chadri atov al chadri ginzarlam v'chol gilui bahir mishulo shubeerko. And every clear revelation really is mishulash. It's three parts. Nafshi, Tairani, Va'ilami. Growing up, it was really one out of the three that we were told about. That's all. It was not Olami, and it was not Nafshi. It was Torah. And not even necessarily particularly interested in it being your Torah, but somebody else's Torah. Not being your Torah. What Kook is saying is a very deep thing. He said, every gilui, every revelation, every true revelation must have these three parts. Nafshi, Torani, Va'ilami. So sometimes we're not little children anymore. This happens more to children, but it happens to adults as well. You'll find someone is screaming and yelling and telling you that this is it. This is the way. This is, you know, they're giving you a whole speech, and this is the Messiah, and this is the only. And you shouldn't feel intimidated as long as everything is a halach. I'm saying you have to always keep halach. We're not messing with halach. Somebody tells you that you can't move muksi, you gotta listen to him. But if somebody's telling you that this is the only way to learn, or this is the only way that you could express your avodas Hashem, then you should very politely and very politely say that that's your way. Tia bari, like they say in Eretz Yisrael, you should be healthy and well. That's not my way. That's not mine. Somebody says, but our Messiah, this is the Messiah. Like, it's your Messiah, it's not mine. But the Gdolim say, there are the Gdolim that say like Ireland. Like I told you a few years ago that maybe the last year, so I'm sorry to be repetitious, but they're good things to come back to. That a few years ago, that my dear friend Reb Chaim Kramer from Breslov, you know Reb Chaim, many of us are close friends of his. From Reb Chaim brought Rabbi Nachman to the English speaking world, not just the English speaking, really French and Spanish and Russian. Reb Chaim, he's going to at 120, he's going to get such a baruch haba from Rabbi Nachman. So they wanted, from one of the Frum magazines, they wanted to interview Reb Chaim. He was in America, and they wanted to interview him. And, to talk about Uman, and what's going on, and wrestling, and how come so many people are interested in this stuff? So I want to interview Reb Chaim. And so Reb Chaim called me up. He said to me, Aisha, do me a favor. Could you come to me for this interview? I don't want to be by myself. I said, all right, I've been through those things. I understood what he meant. And I said, all right, okay, we'll do it. I'll stay there with you. Where is it? He said, oh, it's in your office on Thursday.
That really sounds like him.
No, he said, it's in your office on Thursday. I said, okay, what time? He said, no, I'm calling at 20 hours, it's a good time. I go, okay, so we'll be here on Thursday. And a very, very wonderful person from that magazine. Very fine person that, you know, grew up in the regular yeshivas and so on, a very good guy, but very good intentioned and open person, nice person. So, he was talking, he was asking Reb Chaim different questions, Reb Chaim was answering things. And then in the middle, he said this sentence, I always come back to this. The fellow that was interviewing Reb Chaim said, but this whole thing of, you know, his bodedus and tikkun chatzos and uman, you know, he's saying this is the gedolim. This is not the way of the gedolim. That's what he says, something like that, nusach. So Chaim just said, Rabbi Nachman's also God. Next question. Like, he wasn't defensive kihuzeh. I was so impressed by that. He didn't get upset. He didn't get angry, but he was saying to him, that's your godel. You know, buddy, I got my godel. You want to take your Rosh Hashiva and you want to put him up against Rabbi Nachman? You mean you have your godel? Rabbi Nachman said that we should do his brothers and take Chatzais. Your godel says you shouldn't be doing that at midnight. Guess what? My godel says I should. That's all. End of conversation. He just said, okay. And then something, whatever. And the reason that I come back to that so often in my head is because it wasn't with any kind of defensiveness at all. He didn't feel at all the need to kilu, make a fight, or a mulchama, because his dveikus to the tzaddik is so clear and so strong and so simple and sweet. It's like if somebody would, my father Zichron Levracha, I've told this to you also, my father Zichron Levracha said that, you know, he hears these stories, they say in books that when they were lying there in the lager at night, they were lying there on the wooden planks at night in the camps, that this one would be saying over Mishnayos Baal Peh, this one was saying Gemara Baal Peh. My father said, in my bunk, I don't remember that. He said, in my bunk where I was, with the guys, where I was, this one would give a krechs. And he would say, and the other one would say, Tim, who was his yankel? My father told this to me, and the yankel would say, oi, by us, my mama, my mother made a kugel. Oi, my mother's kugel. And they would start to cry. And then the other one would say, then Moshe would say, your mother's kugel. What do you know from a kugel? You don't know from a kugel. You never taste a kugel in your life until you ate my mother's kugel. My father said, those were the conversations in his book. You understand? That's how clear the Indian is to a person of who I am. That's your kugel. This is my kugel. You understand? That's your Adam Gadol. Kol kavod. He's not a godel. And you stick to your godel. But don't start asking me a kasha, how could I do this? It's against your godel. Mm-hmm. It's against your godel. How could I do this? Because it's against your godel. A kasha. You enjoy your kugel, and I enjoy my kugel. And we could be best friends. We could love each other and respect each other. I got my own kugel. And from a very early age, that was taken away from the children's, that was taken away from us. Or there was an attempt to take it away from us, and the rest of our lives we're hopefully trying to reclaim that little bit of the I that we remember. to spend your whole life to try to get that back. So Rav Kook is saying, every clear revelation has three parts. Nafshi, it's nafshi, my nefesh. Torani, the Torah. V'olami. But Torani, my Torah. V'olami, and my world. Nafshi, Torani, v'olami. Most kids, it's just not even Torani, it's HaTorah. The Torah. Not Torani, not HaTorah Shali. Olami, my world. My world is not the same as your world. I mean, the world is the world, but my world, my world. My parents, my kids, my friends, my neighborhood, my world. It's not your world. And this back and forth from the Torah, and then taking that Torah and trying to find where is that Torah in my nefesh? Where is that part of my world? Where do I find that within myself? And then having taken that journey to nafshi, to my soul, then to go back and to learn more and more and to see more and more in the Torah and in the world. Taran l'shani marasecha, ki kolmus v'secha tzadik. My mouth, my tongue speaks your words. Kolmus v'secha tzadik, all your mitzvahs are righteous. Taran l'shani. Every person has to find halashon shelo, his own lashon. Again, the sefer we're going to learn is explaining all of this. We're going to spend a lot of time learning what all this means. How to get to that place. That's all that we're learning, is how to find that place. Yeshnam tzaddikim keila. There are some tzaddikim. There are some tzaddikim that don't have to go out from that place of dveikus, from that deepest part, that inner chamber of themselves. There's some tzaddikim that they just don't go out from that place. Ve'nim tzichim l'stakel chutz la'arba amaseyim. And they don't have to look. They don't have to look beyond their dalat amos. They don't have to look beyond their dalat amos. V'yeshnam ke'ela, and there are other tzaddikim, shehem shotim al roichav kol tchunas hashaynus. There are other tzaddikim that they must sail the breath of all different tchunas, of all different feelings and thoughts. We mistaklim b'shamayim of arutz, and to explore worlds above and below. Misoifer alamat soifer. And these tzaddikim need to explore and to investigate and to search. Misoifer alamat soifer. V'yesh l'famem tzaddik gadol. Sometimes there's a great tzaddik. That has both of these qualities within him. That is both of them. And there are times, therefore, by this tzaddik, that he climbs into that place, deep, 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 into those dalat amos of himself. Not teaching others, not going outside, not just in that place of his own arba amos. Ulefamim ein of mishaitatos bakol. I mean, this is him. This is Rav Kook. Ulefamim ein of mishaitatos bakol. And then there are other times that his eyes are upon everything. Mishaitatos bakol. Sonay inecho re'ei. Lift up your eyes and see. Tzafon of enegba. The Kedma V'yama. His eyes are looking everywhere. North, south, east, west. Son Nainech, lift your eyes up and look. And then he says about himself. Now, whether this was intended to be found or discovered, he says, Eini tzarech lahazniach es tviyasi hapnimis. I don't have to ignore and go away from that tviya pnimis, that demand of my deepest, of that deepest part of myself. In other words, that longing to leave everything and to go and to be in that place of the I. I don't have to ignore that. Liskar alakol meruchi ha'atzmi, to go see and investigate everything and try to understand everything based upon that ruach within myself. I don't have to leave. But v'imze, but at the same time, together with that, yesh shehinni karu leschazek l'harchiv es hashkafayis ha'heruchanias of ha'maisis. There are times that I'm being called upon, that Hashem is sending me, and shlichus leschazek l'harchiv hashkafayis, to expand my vision, my sight. Haruchanias v'amaisis, my spiritual vision and my practical vision to come back in and to review and to understand everything in light of myself, to then study and to understand the new information that's come in from outside. Al pi oisa haklita haba mi bachus. Dafke, with what I've absorbed from outside, what I've learned from outside, from other people, from other svarim, from other places. Bibachutz, ayde reyus, from outside. Ayde reyus. Reyus means friendship. Reyus. Being friends. Being with other people. Eruv ben habrius, by being together with other people. Kriya b'svarim, looking at different svarim, to hear what those people are thinking, to hear what those people are feeling. The ones who I speak to, the ones who have written svarim and I read. V'yeser nisyonis achayim. I am sent by Hashem to experience the nisyonos of life. The nisyonos of life. Hashem Davka wants us to be outside and to be mechubar el achayim, like Kohelet says, to be attached to life. You know, there's an expression in English. It's a good expression. It's called an echo chamber. You know what that is? An echo chamber? I don't mean in Gashmis. An echo chamber. An echo chamber is when you're you express your opinions among people who all agree with you. And you have the pleasure of always hearing back your own voice. That's called an echo chamber. Many, 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 many people live in an echo chamber. Hashem the Spark doesn't want us to live in an echo chamber. He wants a person to be able to be exposed to all different kinds of people. Sometimes in your own house growing up. All different types. To learn from, to argue with, to interact with other people. Hashem Yisbach put us in lives, unless a person is in some cave somewhere. Hashem Yisbach means that Hashem Yisbach put us into lives where, whether we want to or not, where we come into contact with people who don't think the way that we do, who have different ideas, who have different feelings. if you find that you live that you're living your life with, and everybody that you talk to agrees with you, it's very, very sad. If you find that you're never being challenged by different ways and different thoughts, different mahalchim, that's very, very small. It's very pathetic. The way Hashem Baruch made us is, you know, that we should be mechubar alachai. See, you know, you have somebody who lives in an echo chamber and he gives a speech and everybody's cheering and clapping. Like, you know, you're like a Boston Red Sox fan or something, and you're talking like in some Irish pub in Boston, and about what's the greatest team in the world?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's your life. Your whole life is talking about the Boston Red Sox in an Irish bar in Boston. That's the mice.
It's like all social media, really, is the way that's it's exactly, successful. It's
that's exactly. Like, yeah. That's exactly what's going on.
The same loop.
It's exactly loop. What's going on. And if somebody disagrees, they have to be shut down.
Yeah.
Canceled. Right. Shut down. But it's unbelievable what's happening. I never, all the years, people, you know, a lot of people talk in very dramatic ways, and the world is, you know, the world is for the, like Chicken Little, you know, the sky is falling. I never went for that, but that truth is the sky is falling. Like, what's going on in America now?
Right.
So the Sinas Yisrael that's coming out, and the college campuses, and the politics, this whole cancel thing in America in 2022. No, everybody wants to live that life of a Boston Red Sox fan giving a drasha about the Red Sox in a bar in Boston. You have a great receptive audience.
After they just won Boston.
You have a great audience. And people want that in their homes too. They like that in their homes too. Your wife disagreed with you. Your kids don't want to do what you want to do. I got to move to Boston. You mean your kid actually has a different way of thinking? Do you believe it? Your kid doesn't agree with you. Your husband doesn't agree with you. Your wife has a different mahalach. But you're standing all the years on. You're standing on that pedestal, on that bench, darshaning in your living room. That this is the truth. This is it. There's only one way. I'm the gadol, and this is the godless, my way. And your wife says, "No, I don't agree." Oh boy. Oh boy. Why does Hashem have it such? Why does Hashem want such a thing that a guy should marry a girl to begin with? No intelligent person would ever want to put two people like that together in a room. How are they supposed to get along? Is the zochin is in the cave. There's a reason why we have to have a mechitza. Because just one seeing the other causes aggravation. It's altogether a different birya. It's altogether a different world. Her very mitzias is not aligned with your mitzias. And the Rosh Hashanah says, "Oh, hey, here you go." Takes his chas nakala like this. He's 20, she's 19, and then you put them together under the chuppah, everything. You put them in the house together, and that's it. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu make such a game like that? And that's such a simcha. Such a simcha. In 2 weeks, you get a call from this one, you know, we had a disagreement. The Baruch Hu wants that. He doesn't want us to be in an echo chamber. The frum world, in many places, is trying to create more and more echo chambers also. To cancel all people who are different. Even if there are very subtle differences, like just subtle differences in minhagim or whatever. There are those who try to cancel that. Who are trying to who are trying to silence voices of other Jews who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Because you're so insecure and you're so desperate to hold on to your echo chamber and to have an adoring crowd that's cheering you on in the bar in Boston. Nobody disagrees with you. It's an amazing thing. And all these people always speak in the name of the Torah world. The whole Torah world. Just like all Gedolim disagree with you. Hashem Shabbat Davka put a Zacha within a Keva because the two of them can help each other to find the truth. Not to become each other, not to be absorbed into each other, not to lose oneself in marriage, in a relationship, but to be able to help each one find himself and herself and to enjoy the trip together by learning in such a way with each other. Not to live your whole life in an echo chamber. That's why Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado. Hashem Shabbat in the end didn't want that a person should be by himself. Es le'ezek kenegdo. What does it mean, ezek kenegdo? Ever heard some chassam speak by Shavuot Brachos? What does it mean, ezek kenegdo? So Rashi says that if you're zoicha, then she'll help you. But if you're not zoicha, she'll be against you. Right? That's last week's parasha. Ezek kenegdo. You know what the Ishbitzah says about that? It's a little tiny little mashilach last Shabbos, last parasha. The Ishbitzah says that the way that she helps you is by being against you. That you don't live your whole miserable life in an echo chamber. Because when you live by yourself, I think, I know, I feel. Never challenged. Never outside of the self. You have this wonderful little echo chamber. You're the speaker and you're also the audience. It's gewaltig. And usually these people within a short time also create a website. you notice that? That's happening a lot? Or what's it called?
App.
No. Blog. Podcast. Blog. A new podcast. Musings and ruminations. From my bedroom. From my study. Yes, we're all clamoring to hear. What is it that you're darshaning to your stuffed animals on your bed? But this is going on. It's crazy stuff going on. It's crazy. I feel the whole world has gone mad. The Baruch Hu wants you to hear and to give and to receive. Mashpia, Makabel, Mashpia, Makabel. I'm still talking about Les Shabbos. Mashpia, Makabel. Toiv Mashnaim and Ha'echad. Toiv Mashnaim and Ha'echad. But that doesn't mean the other way. It doesn't mean to lose yourself in the crowd. It means that's what Rav Kook is saying. Any tzarech lasnich has tivasi penim is luskos kolim. Vim zeh yesh hini shakar lishchazuk lahark vizhashkavoysa. I refundis amaisis. Api oisa klita abom yibachutz. I de reyus, eiv ben abriyus, kriya besvarim, v'yesenis, yoynis achai. Both of these worlds. V'acharkach, chozer hakol hismazeg beruchi ha'atzmi. And then afterwards, I try to bring all of this together to lismazeg, like to be integrated. Come together, beruchi ha'atzmi. In my ruach, what did I gain from the nisyanis, the challenges of that other way of life, of that person, of what I saw outside, or what I learned that's not my usual way of what I was learning, and what can I take from this within myself, and find myself in this voice that until now was outside of myself, and to find it in myself. And I return to my room. I return to that inner chamber, to that oyser. I spend some time outside. Yet in the beginning, it feels it's a distraction. It's painful. It's cozier and more comfortable to stay inside. But I'm called. I'm being called to go outside. I'm being called upon to go outside. But not stam. I'm being called upon to gather together more material to then bring into the inner world and to review it and to study it, to examine. By the candle that was shining inside the mother's womb, that was shining from one light of the end of the world to the other end of the world, to look at that which I've heard and I've seen by my candle. It's by my candle to study that. Not somebody else's candle, by my candle. But Chazal said, the Gemara says that there's a candle lit inside the mother's womb and the baby sees from one end of the world to the other end of the world. It's by my candle to study what I've heard. By my candle to try to understand that which I've learned, or that which I've experienced, that which I've seen, what I've heard, by my candle, what does it mean? And how can I grow from it? How could I change? How could I, or should I reject this entirely? This is not me. This is somebody else. Wonderful. But it's somebody else's Indian. It's not mine. Zelobishvili. Like the famous saying of the Kotzker, it was originally in Yiddish, but in the Hebrew it's, or in English, I'll just say straight in, if I am I and you are you, then I am and you are you. But if I am you and you are me, then I'm not I and you're not you. You got that? That's the whole story. You know, Kotzke said everything. If I am I and you are you, then I am I and you are you. But if I am you and you are me, then I'm not I and you're not you. That's all. If the daven that our children should just be absorbed by somebody, then wake up at some point and feel, this is not me. That's the scariest thing. I daven all the time for my children, my grandchildren about that. That they should be able to find themselves with the Torah that they're learning. And the people that they're meeting, they should find themselves. Not to wake up one day all of a sudden and say, you know, that wasn't me. All that stuff is not me. I'm out of here. I'm not interested. That's not me. It's not me. The Torah is. Hashem's Ruach is. But it has to be by the light of your candle. So, and that's what this is about. And Mitzvah Shem will finish it next week. I'll try to finish it next week.